morning. Let's see. All right, this morning we are reading from Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, in speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every support ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
Okay, so the question we have before us is, how are people discipled? I know discipleship, if you grew up in evangelicalism, discipleship is a big word. And everyone talked about discipleship, and basically that meant you had to have an accountability buddy. And you would get together at a coffee shop, and you would read a book, and you would talk about it. And most of it has to do with learning things. Most of it has to do with understanding and grasping what it means. It's a lot of orthodoxy, but not a lot of orthopraxy. A lot orthodoxy is what we believe. Orthopraxy is what we do. In case you didn't know, the goal of discipleship is very simple. The goal of discipleship is Christ-likeness. That's it. It has nothing to do with memorizing anything. It has nothing to do with reading books or listening to sermons. It's about becoming like Jesus in presence, in heart, in mind, and in posture. To be a disciple is to be a disciplined one, someone who lives a life centered on the disciplines of Christ. You have daily things that you work through. It's sort of like being an athlete playing some sort of sport. I don't play a lot of sports ball, but if I did, I know enough to know that, like, you're not going to keep playing well unless you have daily practices and rhythms of life. And a lot of that is what discipleship is about. In order to be discipled, one must have disciplines and practices that form them towards a goal. And so discipleship in the New Testament, it does not happen in the ways that we tend to offer it to people today. It doesn't happen through book reading. It doesn't happen through sermons. It doesn't happen through coming to church and sitting and hearing some guy talk for 45 minutes. I'm sorry. This is not discipleship. This is a very specific thing, which I'll talk about. But it is not discipleship. It doesn't happen through a monologue on a Sunday morning or a book study. There is no program anyone can put you through that'll make you pop out a fully discipled Christian. Each person is unique. Each person is unique in their brokenness. Each person is unique in their gifting. And each person needs the attention of the body of Christ. Present with them, speaking into their lives and listening as they speak into the lives of the body. And so today, on our biannual house church launch, we are inviting you into discipleship through the house churches that we have. Watermark participates in the kingdom in three ways. If you've been here any amount of time, you've heard me talk about this, but this is the three ways that Watermark participates in the kingdom. We have the closed circle. It's not closed, it's close. It is the Sunday morning gathering. This is where we come to take the sacraments, to hear the teachings of the apostles, to worship and to pray and to connect with those in the body. This is something Christians have done for 2,000 years. It has looked different at various times, but this is what we're carrying on. It is the place where Christians come and submit to Jesus through the sacraments, through all of this. The next up is the half circle. The half circle is our version of missions. It is how we understand the mission of God's people. The mission of Christians is the same mission that Jesus had. It is reconciliation. Paul writes extensively about this, how God has given us Christ's work of reconciliation. This is our job. Whatever is separated, we bring it back together. Whatever is broken that needs to be fixed, we work to help fix it. We are partnering with God to restore and reconcile all things and all people to Christ. And so in our half circle, it is where we intentionally enter into relationships with the broken, with the oppressed, with the marginalized, with hurting, with the lost, with anyone in need of healing in any way. And the shape of it is meant to communicate the posture. We don't go into places that need help. We don't go to these places with the power to help. There's a very sort of colonialist evangelical mindset that we inherited for a long time that, like, oh, we're going to go into a neighborhood with money and with people and resources, and we're going to fix the whole thing. That is not how it works, because first you have to recognize what is broken, and the only way you can recognize and locate what is broken is by building relationships with the people there who can fill you in on what exactly is broken. And so we submit to the community. And we listen to them and we build relationships. We look for the places where God is already working. And we come back and we talk to each other and say, here's what God is doing. How can we supplement what God is already doing? Not come in with a brand new work. We work with the people who are there. And so that's the half circle and how that works. We have a whole missions board, missions team dedicated to that. Lastly, we have the dotted circle. It refers to our house church gatherings. These happen around the table in neighborhoods. It is visible. A whole bunch of cars piled outside of a bungalow in Seminole Heights. Everyone knows something is going on there. These are our house churches. There are a lot of them. It's where the body of Christ makes the kingdom of God visible in these neighborhoods where we live. Each circle practices submitting differently, turning us outwards. In the closed circle, we submit to Jesus through sacraments, through the teachings of the apostles. On the half circle, we submit to what God is doing in the world. We submit to them. We listen. What can we do to help? And we listen. And we partner with them. And in the dotted circle, the reason it's dotted is because there is space for the neighborhood to join us. They can see. We go into their neighborhoods and we meet there around tables in their place. And in the dotted circles, we submit to each other. As we are led by the Spirit, we gather on the table. We invite the Spirit to join us, and we say, "Hey, we are here to discern life together." We spend some time in prayer. We eat. We have fun. We have good, deep conversation. Sometimes we will talk about the sermons. Sometimes we'll talk about different books we're reading. Sometimes we'll just talk about life, what the world is asking of us, and asking each other, what do you think God is asking of me in this situation? What does it look like to be Christ-like in this situation? This is how it works. In the closed circle, we come and submit. Oh, yeah, we already did that. The dotted circle, we submit to the Spirit and to the body of Christ. We take turns listening to each other, discerning the way forward through the Spirit of God. In this way right here, this is how we make the kingdom accessible to the neighborhood. And again, the reason we call it a dotted circle is because we leave space for neighbors to come and to check it out and to connect with us and to share a meal and to witness Christians discerning the path of life together. Most people will never see this their whole life. A lot of evangelicals will never see a group of people gathering together and trying to discern life and giving sort of handing over some of the reins and the decision-making to the body of Christ and saying, what should I do here? What is Christ saying to me? What can Christ say to me through you? You who have been following Jesus your whole lives, what can Christ say to me? And as we speak to each other in this way, other people begin to awaken that, like, God has been doing that same work in their life. And they speak to that as well. And so they watch as a member of the body brings their struggles, their doubts, their questions to the table, and they observe with others. They see people working from their spiritual gifting, working to bring healing and peace and wisdom. What the world needs is to see a group of people whose lives are led by Jesus, because this is not what most of us have lives that are led by. Most of us are just defaulting to culture. Most people are guided by pragmatism. They do what is most profitable, what is the most comfortable, what asks the least of them, what costs the least, what makes the least amount of waves, makes life easier, and what raises their status or earns them admiration or fame or money. This is how we make most of our decisions. It is very normal, but the fact is it is being led by the flesh. And we gather as house churches to be led by the Spirit, to ask other questions. Okay, this is obviously what the world is asking of me. This is what everyone is doing and taking part in. But what does it look like to follow Jesus here instead of America, instead of the empire? What does it look like? And so what the world needs to see is a group of people led by Christ. Every goal that they set is centered on and driven by Christ. And so in the house churches, the world witnesses this. People putting all of that other stuff aside, comfort, wealth, power, sex, popularity, all of this. They put it aside and they ask, what is the Christ-like thing to do here? What will bring the most healing? What is the most loving thing I can do? And it's around the table where we can freely learn to practice our spiritual gifting in ways that benefits others. And so we have this passage that we're reading this week. And the reason I wanted to bring this up is because I want you to understand how the body of Christ actually works. We tend to have this idea that, we pool our money, we hire people to do this stuff. And we hire people who are gifted in that particular thing, and they do all the work for us. But I want to lay this out for you and give you a picture of the flatness of the church, of the equality, the sheer egalitarianism of the church. Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service. So there's all these gifts that God gives all his people, and the reason he does this is because there are other people in the church who need that. There are things that you need from other people in this room, and God has gifted them those things because God knows that they are of need to you. And so the church is a body, and a healthy body has everything it needs to feed itself, to protect itself, and to live well. The Christian assumes that God has provided the person and the gift that the body needs to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. This is discipleship. This is what it is. This is what it looks like. This is, for me, the definitive verse about what discipleship looks like. Gathering with people who are gifted in ways that you need. And understand that you are gifted in ways that they need, and pouring ourselves out for each other and filling up so that we can become like Christ, who is the head of the whole thing. This is why we don't have house church leaders in every house church. We have hosts. The Spirit is the leader. Jesus is the head of the church. We have leaders who hire to run the whole thing, but in the house church gathering, we're trying to listen to the Spirit, not anyone in particular. And so the church is a body. I am a teacher, and when someone needs help understanding a concept or thinking through something, that's what I do. I open the scriptures and I study them all day so that I can help you when you're in need. But there's a lot of things I don't know. I don't know how to necessarily help unhoused neighbors. I don't know how to serve people who are bedridden or sick or terminally ill, and I have people that I talk to that help me out, that go with me, and we need each other in this way. I am not equipped in so many ways that so many people are equipped, and I am equipped in ways that they might not be. And so if I want to know something about helping these people, I'm going to go to the people who are equipped there. So when the text isn't making sense, the Spirit has made some teachers. And when there is illness or brokenness in the body, the Spirit has given some the gift of healing. And that doesn't always look like you think it might look, but it is a gifting of people that are drawn to people who are sick and who want them brought back to health, and they pray for them, and sometimes they are healed. It is the work of the church. When there is lostness, the Spirit has given some shepherds and evangelists to bring those lost ones back and to give them a place in the community and a seat at the table. And at the table, we find that God has given the body of Christ all that it needs. It is a place to ask questions. This is the evangelism part for me. When I was a kid, I was always taught, invite your friends to church, but I didn't understand why anybody would go to church. I did every single week. I understand why I went, because I had parents who took me. But I didn't know why an adult walking around would choose to go to church. Like, what's the point? Where is it leading to? And why are we evangelizing anyways? Is it just sort of some kind of fire insurance for later on? Like, what does it do for their lives? Couldn't they just get that and then not go to church? What is the role of the whole church? And I see this regularly. I get emails sometimes like, hey, what does the church do that you can't get anywhere else in the world? I'm going to write something about that, and I'll give it to you guys. We'll talk about it. I have ideas. And so it's the church, the house churches especially, are a place to ask questions. I understand now that the church is where we come to gather to suss out the mysteries of life and to receive the wisdom of the Spirit through the church, to hear the body of Christ speak into our lives and to submit to it and not push back in our pride and our piety and say, no, I'm doing fine. And in fact, here's some things you need to work on. No. We learn to receive and listen because these people love us, because they care about us. And when someone loves you, you know that what they're telling you is for your good. You know that they care about your journey. And so this is the place where all this stuff happens. And our prayer, hold on a second. I think nowadays when I think someone is ready to come to a church gathering, you kind of have conversations with people and they seem to be asking questions. They seem to be interested. Like, why do you go? Anyways, that is the time when I realize, like, okay, God's calling them in. Do you have a place where you ask your questions? Where is that? Well, why don't you come with me? We ask all these questions about the harder and the deeper and the divine things of life. And we would love for you to join us. And so our prayer is that when you think of church, this is not, eventually, this is not what you picture. That when you think of church, what you picture is sitting around a table, sharing a meal, and having the most deep, intensely profitable conversations you've ever had. This is how I want my kids to think of the church when they're older. This whole picture of a concert and a TED Talk thing, I think the world in general, America is moving away from it. I think it is dying. I think the model is dying. And I think the way we invest in communities that gather around the table at home will really set the stage for a healthy church of the future. And that's really, really what the world needs right now, is a healthy church. It's not just what we need. It's what the world needs at this moment. And so our prayer is that eventually when you think of the church, that you would think of the table, not a show, not a band, not someone talking from a stage, that you would see the church as a place where we gather and we offer ourselves up for each other in the service of God. And so that when things are hard, when things are celebratory, when things are dark, when things are beautiful, that you would be connected to the body of Christ and that we could walk with you through all of this, to mourn with you and celebrate with you and let you know you are not alone as you walk through this. We are all here with you. And I have felt that, and I hope that you have felt that too. And this is sort of the place where these relationships are built. And so if you are just coming on a Sunday morning and you're showing up and you're hoping something happens, you're hoping somehow you become Christ-like because you showed up on a Sunday morning, I want you to know, I appreciate the effort. I think you're ignorant of what God actually wants to do in your life, of all the parts of your life that he actually wants to touch, all the ways that he wants to connect you with people that will absolutely challenge you to becoming a better person, a more Christ-like person. And that's what the world needs. That's what your family needs. That's what we need. That's what we all need. And so at this time, I'm going to hand it off to Joy, our house church coordinator. She's got her hands on the rein, and she is helping everyone understand what they're doing in the house churches. And if you have questions about house churches, about how they function, she's your person. Yeah, come on up. And I'm going to pass it off to her. So give her a round of applause.